I've got two verses of scripture I want to read tonight. And then I'm going to... A few things I need more to say tonight. But here in Jeremiah, chapter 30, in verse 19. Jeremiah, chapter 30, in verse 19. And then the next verse is in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12. You say, well, preacher, why are you going to just read a couple, just two verses? One in the Old Testament, one in the New. Well, I have to get through everything. I hope that you'll understand reading why. But, you know, this is Thanksgiving and... where we've all have voiced our thankfulness unto the Lord. But it says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30 in verse 19, it says, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. And over here in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, in verse 12. Revelation chapter 7, in verse 12, is speaking about is the seals, and it's talking about the saved, the tribulation. And, you know, we're not going to have to go through no tribulation. Thank the Lord for that. And we also see where the vision of the Gentiles who are to be saved during the great tribulations. But it also says over here in verse 12, it says, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. I want to try to look at the word thanksgiving tonight. What does thanksgiving mean to us? Not just on, just not here and speaking it out tonight in our testimony and everything. But what is the meaning of thanksgiving in everyday life? First of all, the thanksgiving means the first thing is the treasure that we have. The treasures that are laid up in heaven for the saints of God. We have the treasures that we have not seen, but they're laid up in heaven there for us to receive one day. And that day is going to shortly come. And I believe it's going to come quicker than what any of us imagine. But in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, and it says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. My jewels is speaking about a special value. It's speaking of something of worth. It's speaking of a treasure. It's speaking of a jewel. It is speaking something close to the individual. Now we also know that the jewels, we can take that and we can say that we can take our jewels and our rings or whatever, and that is so precious to us in this life. And what do? We want to take them and put them in our little treasure chest, our little hope chest. Why? So nobody else would know exactly where it's at until they get into there. But see, it's not going to mean as much to them as it does us. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ means more to us tonight and the other 365 or 66 days during the year than it does for them that does not know Christ. So it's something that we treasure. And it's our diary. Yes, we can keep a diary. And we ought to. We ought to keep it to the point that that will humble ourselves. We can keep our treasure, our most important things to us. And when it's that important to us, it means that we will humble ourselves. Why? Because we care about what we're doing. We care about what we're doing for someone. If the people would just get it in the heart and within the mind that when individuals come and invite them to the church, they need to realize that we have them on our mind. And it's the best interest unto them. We as individuals, I don't know of no other place that I'd rather be at tonight on the face of this earth. There's not but one place that I'd rather be at than anywhere else, and that would be home with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But see, I'm just as much as at home with Him right now down here. It will be an hour. Why? Because I don't have a care in the world. I don't worry about nothing. I let my wife and my daughter do all of that. Because they're going to worry. And I said, well, why should both of us worry? Well, let her worry about it. I ain't worried about it. Somebody got to stay sane. What's the matter with you, Shelby? You ain't saying nothing. You better wake up. Oh, man, no, I'm just kidding. But no. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse 12, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, it says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I'm thankful that I can humble myself to the place and knowing that I serve a God in heaven that loves me in spite of my own self. But I don't humble myself for people to come by me and say,
pat me on the back and say, you've done a good job today.
Or, I like the way you you done that out here today. I like the way you spoke to the on out here today. Well, hey, I don't need to be exalted. I don't want to be exalted. If anybody needs to be exalted, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we must exalt with everything. Because, see, if it wasn't for Him, I could not do it. If it wasn't for Him, I could not speak it. If it wasn't for Him, I couldn't even think it. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be able to go to the place that I need to go to. Some of the places that God leads me to, I had no idea that I would end up going to that place and visit somebody. But I don't need to be exalted. The only thing that I'm looking for is one day when He says that.
In an end, thy faithful. You run the race. You've kept the faith.
I just want Him to say, well done. That's all He has to say. Well done. If He says well done, then that would be more than I would ever expect. But I don't expect Him to say that. If I can just go and just be able to bow His knees, bow on my knees at His feet,
and lay the crown that He just gave me at His feet.
Because see, I don't deserve to wear no crown. I don't deserve anything. I don't even deserve somebody even trying to put me on a cross and crucify me like they did Jesus. Because if He'd done that, that would be a mockery unto Jesus. Now, and I know what they're doing out here and everything, but at Easter time, I don't know if y'all ever seen it or not, but where the Advance Auto is at now, on 58, right when the was the name of the church that was there? The church, it was the Church of God, I believe it was, that there was Zion, before Vance Auto had bought the land. But every Easter, a week before, then the last 3 days where right before Easter Day, they would have a mannequin up there. And they would have it hung there on the cross. And they would have blood coming from here. And blood like red paint's what it was. Then they'd have the crown that was up here. Had His feet crossed. And had it nailed down there too. Then He had to say over his head. I think the last time I'd seen it,
that they did put it over there in Latin. They don't know what they was doing. They was making a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody asked me one time, sis, why do you say that? That they are making a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, anytime now that you put Jesus on the cross, you're making a mockery. Because Jesus is not on the cross. Because Jesus lives today. He lives within our heart and our soul. He is not living on the cross no more.
And I think that's an answer to a whole lot of individuals' prayers also of times past. I know his mother was there at the grave. But see that he didn't have to move the stone. He didn't have to move the stone. But he did. He moved that stone for who? For his mother. And the others that come by. That was going to anoint him with the oil that particular day. But they came. And they saw the stone had been rolled away. They seen where what it was wrapped in. I always called it before a cocoon, which is basically, that's what it was ended up being. Wrapped up like it was a cocoon. But it had what his body was wrapped in. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Had that wrapped up. It was placed right there where his body was placed. But see, they didn't leave it there. To where, when people did come in to see the body of his, the body there, that they could come in and see him and see his eyes and something like that. No, they had a napkin covering his face. The napkin was not over there. What he was wrapped in. It wasn't over there. The napkin was over here. Completely by itself. That napkin represented more than the wrapping that represents a complete body. Why? The napkin toe was an evidence of him returning. Of him returning one day. See, the Jews, they didn't grasp that. They still don't grasp that today. They don't understand what the napkin is really really what it means. But if they're getting at the dig and read and study on what the napkin itself means, come to find out, it means returning. Just like us, if you go out and eat, or something like if you go to a fancy restaurant or or dying or something like that, and they'll come over and yes, and they'll bring you a plate. When they bring you your plate, then they bring you your utensils and stuff, but they will come and they will bring you a napkin. Now, a whole lot of time today, they don't do it today as much as it did in the past, but now, today, they don't really do it unless you're in a, when it's high class, restaurants or diner, whatever you want to call them, one of these high class things that they've been at, they'll take it and they'll fold the napkin, the cloth napkin. And I wondered that why did they use cloth? Why did they use cloth? And I got to thinking about it a whole lot of times. I said, I know the reason they use cloth. They're still going with their old tradition. The old tradition. They took it. Napkin. If you get up from your table, what do you do? If you get up from your table and you're going to go over there and either see somebody or shake their hands off, we're going to do, you're going to wipe your hands off, right? That's the reason they had a separate cloth or paper towel where it was wrapped up with your utensils, your spoon, your fork, and your knife, and all that was wrapped together, and I have a ring around it. You take the ring off, take your utensils out, and then today you don't see many people anymore, they will even say grace so that they can give God thanks for it. But I'm going to do it. I mean, down in the state of Florida, they've had a time down there because the people down in Florida, they don't want them to do it, say that anymore. They don't want them to come in to the place of business to say grace. Well, that's their privilege. If they don't want me to say grace, then they don't need my dollar or my $20. If I can't come in and say grace, then they're not going to get any of my money. And businesses down in Florida has closed up because of the same reason. What was it? What was it all about? It was about the ownership of the businesses and the employee of the businesses, that they had the wrong kind of answer to give to the individuals that come in and spent their hard-earned money. See, they don't realize who pays thy salary. They don't realize who and where the check comes from. You can go ahead and you can ask the young people today, well, who pays your salary? Well, Applebee's does. They give me a check. I get paid every week. I said, that's good. I said, are you sure? Says, yeah. Says, I get a check every week. It's got Applebee's on it. I says, now where did Applebee's get it at? Where did they get the money from? Well, they borrowed it from the bank and all that. See, they forget about where it comes from. If it wasn't for me and you that went to these places and spent our hard-earned money for the product that we went in to purchase, they wouldn't have the job. It's not Lowe's that pays their employees. It's not Home Depot that pays for their employees. It's not none of that. It's not even the President of the United States. It's not the employees is paying the United States, the President of the United States. It's not that. It's not the government that's paying him. Oh, yes, he may receive a check that's got the government on it, and I receive him checks every month. It comes from the government, but may be written in the on a government piece of paper. But where it comes from, where my money that I get in my check once a month, where you get your check, that what money you get in once a month, yeah, we paid a portion of it. We're not getting back nothing but we had paid in, I know that. Because we're still. It's not us. I received a check, the government didn't pay me. You know who paid me? The hard-earned workers like you. He's working on a job. They the one is what about. And they worked. And they worked hard for the money to where they could pay it in. Just like me and you, if we go to Lowe's and buy something from Lowe's, what does our money go to? Yes, a portion of our money goes to the product that we just purchased. Then they will take the rest of the money from the product that we have just purchased. And they would divide it up in so many different ways to where so much would be designated to the employer or the employee. And then so much more of it would be going toward the insurance and stuff like that. But see, it's us. The hard-earned workers, we're the one that keeps them in business. Did you realize that we're the one that keeps the government in business? I just simply threw up the government myself. But I know it's impossible. We ain't on the air with nobody. I just saw here something the other day. They was talking. Well, matter of fact, last month they was talking about it. They said that Social Security in 2022 would be zero. Even what all the Social Security that's even going to be paid in between now and then, it's not going to be there. That was last month in October. Yesterday I saw where Congress and his Senate is taking 156,
might be 150, it's either 150 or 156 billion, not with an M, but that's with a B, $1 billion from this Social Security. Now, if they said it was going to dry up, if they would quit fooling with it,
What I seen, they hadn't ever done it, but I don't know, but I hope and pray that some of them will stick to the guns. And it's a kindness of the hard-earned worker that will go out here and buy their product. But you know something, us as Christians, and I don't want this to sound harsh or nothing like that, because I've caught my own self doing it too, at times and in the past. But if I know of an individual that has got a business that is a Christian, that's not open on Sunday, that loves the Lord, and if he's selling something that I need for the house or something, I will go and purchase it from them. I may pay a little more. See, the devil, he gets more every day. If it wasn't for the Christians, where would the devil be? If it wasn't for the Christians, where would the devil be? Did you realize the devil don't even, the individuals that sit home tonight, the individuals that we've called and we've invited to church, the individuals just riding them down the highway, did you realize the devil don't bother them? So if we don't want the devil to bother us, then we just need to stay home. We just need to go out here and bring maybe Walmart or to the mall or somewhere like that. But see, the reason the devil bothers us and is on our every case, it's not because of the kindness that he has towards us. But it's the fear he's trying to put in us. In thinking about that, what would you think about? And if we had started, let's say 2016, we start on January 1st. And everybody that we go to and we invite to church, everybody we speak to about how much the Lord loves them. And everyone that we give the plan of salvation out to them, and everyone that comes to the house of the Lord that hears the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Everyone that we went out and we did to, and they would just come to church. What would we think? What would we think? We'd say, oh man, Lord, you really blessed us. Did you realize the devil does that to you? The devil does that too. The devil's going to send his own in too. The devil would love to come in right now. And he would love to bring a family about 4, 5 this week. Maybe wait till sometime in December. Have another family come in. Then another family come in January. Some of them they come up and make a profession. Or some of them come up as a should I be saved? Have baptism. To get baptized. Then they'll join the local church. They'll join this church. See what they do? The devil will do that, and the devil will get with our minds. Not with our heart now. If our heart is right with God, and if we know God as much as we think we should, then we need to realize part of this could be caused by the devil. Because see, the devil will love his very best to get into this church. And if your church happened to do that, if it ended up being, say, by the end of, say, February, you had it added 15, 18 more people to the church where they joined, the devil's got a hold. Oh, they just sitting back and buying their time. They buying their time until the wolf, which is the devil, will say, now, attack. Attack. Maybe 4 or 5 months down the road, or 6 months down the road, or whatever. But the devil's going to say, I want that. I want the Faith Baptist Church we have got to have we the there's a word I'm looking I'm trying to say, but I can't think. I can't get it out. But it's like the old mule used to have when they put the mule in the field to plow the field or whatever. When they went up and put all the harness and everything on,
They had these little, you know, little blinders up here, they called. And the reason they had them on in is so that that mule could not see to the right or could not see to the left. The mule had to look straight ahead. Because you take your blinders off of that mule, what's going to happen? Then he's going to start looking over on that road. Start looking over on that road. And then if something happens to spook the mule, then what is he going to do? He's going to run. You think he's going to run right straight down the road that he's on? No, he's going to end up messing up a whole field. Because he's going to go get it. He's going to try to get away. We don't need to take the blinders off. We need to keep the blinders on. God's blinders. We need to keep them on where we can look straight ahead. Where Satan cannot come in and attack us on the right or on the left side of us. We must continue to look straight ahead. Yes, we need to welcome the people as they come in. But they also, if they come in and they say they're saved and everything, you know, I think it's in the bylaws. I can't remember that back so far now. They got a certain time period. They need to be tried. They need to be tested before they can come in and do anything. Now I know at times if you have people come in and if you have five or six people come in, something like that, and you know, if they could help out in doing something. But you know what I would do? The first thing I would tell them, if they come up and ask me, I said, well, Pastor, what can I do to help you? I said, well, you really want to help? Yes, sir, I really want to help you. Meet me down here so-and-so, what's time? And we'll go out visiting. We'll go out knocking on doors. And if people don't want to go out and visit, then you can kind of wonder where the love is at. So we need to be thankful that we have not only God the Father, not only God the Son, but we need to also thank them too for the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Spirit. Because see, the Holy Spirit's what keeps us straight. And if we'll stay straight, the Holy Spirit keeps us straight. That's going to be the biggest blessing in our lives. I tell you, it's just a blessing to come and hear this church. It really is. If y'all just come up and say, we don't want you to preach today. Just me being here in your presence will be a blessing. Will be a blessing to me. I just do it because that's what God called me to do. But if people say, well, you know, we see why you're a little tired tonight. You ain't got to get up and preach. See, we can do something else. We can sing. Do something else. Yeah. Sure, we can.
I've had an individual in here. This preacher says, I know you walking kind of slow and kind of steady on your feet. Says, are you sure you can be able to do it tonight? I said, yeah. He says, now if you don't feel like it, you ain't got to. We can just sing.
Singing. Yes, I like this. I love hearing good old gospel songs. I love to hear people just get up and try to sing. I just love trying to hear my own voice sing and sing. I know I can't carry a tune, but that's all right. When it gets to God's ears, God says, thank you, son. Sounded mighty good on my end.
I love good singing. I really do. But I love what comes out of this book. More than what singing can do for me. I think this is singing can soften our hearts to when it comes down to the preaching of thy word. And if I ever come one night, and I said, Robbie, I ain't gonna do it tonight. I thought I could make it, but you know, I just can't get up and do it tonight. And I'll have to say, Robbie, now it's your turn. You know, that's one thing of being a deacon. You have to take over the pastor and, you know, leads off. But I know that, you know, he says I wouldn't want to do it. But I know that, and I tell you what, now, I mean, I ain't even. I'm gonna shut up. I got to. By now, y'all be here at midnight. Oh, I can just go be able to go home and eat my Thanksgiving dinner about right after midnight. Go Chris to bed all ready for me. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's just all stand and I think there's a song we can all sing. And I think it's amazing grace. Because ain't it amazing that we're here together? It's amazing. You want to lead us still on?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I see.
Oh, me. All righty. Tell you what, they was talking about singing. I think it was Saturday night, singers up here. One was talking about, said, well, let's go on. Let's sing all verses of the song, or was it Sunday night, or